Just a few things. First of all, I am a little bit wary of having this videoed or taped, because every place has their minhagim and their rabbonim that are responsible for that place, and I am only responsible for here, according to the minhagim of here, and therefore anybody who sees this video or hears these tapes should realize they should go to their own Rav and ask him what he holds, and do not do because I'm telling you what to do, and this is only for my kehila. So if you want to listen to the tape, gesunter heit, but you should have a Rav that you go to personally and not me. Okay. Secondly, there are about five or six different topics that we're going to discuss tonight. When we finish each topic, I'll give time for questions. But don't interrupt in the middle with questions, because we'll never finish this and people will lose their train of thought. So as we finish, the main things are products, and then cleaning the house, kashering your kitchen, drugs and cosmetics, and mechiras chametz. Those are the topics we're going to cover tonight. And as we finish each one, I'll give time for questions. Before that, the Birkas HaIlanos. Please remember, there's a bracha you make once a year on blossoming trees. If you're looking for a place to do it, it's better to do it outside the moshav. There's a place in Kiryat Sefer, because the Gemara says Hayotze B'Yomei Nisan. So they learn from that, it's better to do it outside the city. I'm not sure if Kiryat Sefer is called outside the city, since we're in the same Erev. But I think to make a good statement, it's good to do it in Kiryat Sefer to show that it's outside the city. See, that was a political... Avni Nezer 1?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's another one, and I don't know where it is. Where is it? What? Xosachoshen? Okay. In any case, the people from Kiryat Sefer come to Matityahu, so obviously they consider this outside their city also. Okay, in any case, better to do it where there's two trees and the trees have blossoms and not fruit yet. If there's blossoms and fruit, that's also okay, but if it's only fruit, it's a problem. And it's a bracha you make once a year. Even women can make that bracha too. Okay. Okay, now let's start first with products. First of all, there is a list of hashgachas that we accept for the entire year. They are the same hashgachas that we accept for Pesach. Nothing has changed significantly in those hashgachas. If you don't have one, you can get one from the office or from David Small, who very benevolently volunteered to produce that list. And we ask everybody, the truth is the people who are here, I don't have to... I'm speaking to the preaching to the converted or whatever it's called. But if you live on this moshav, then part of your responsibility is to keep the standards of the yeshuv. One of those standards is hashgachas. They are not overly machmir. Depending where you live, there are many places that accept some of those hashgachas and not others, and there's no uniformity. Some places they accept only this one or only that one or whatever, depending on... and some places accept the hashgachas that we don't accept as the ikar hashgachas, best hashgachas or whatever. I can only go on with the information I have. I have someone, Rav Nesher, who I want to invite here, that you can meet him and you can ask him directly. He is not involved with any personal hashgacha. He has a organization that's a watchdog, overseer, information for all the hashgachas. He's very well informed on hashgachas all over the world, including in Eretz Israel, which are maybe the most difficult ones to know what's going on. And I rely on him, both Lekula and Lechumra. Certain hashgachas that other people use, we don't use, and certain hashgachas that other people don't use, we do use. So that's the metzias. Now, for Pesach, for sure, those are the hashgachas. If you want, again, I'm not going to go through them now. If they get the list and see what they are. There are yotzei min haklal. In other words, sometimes somebody calls me, I bought this product by mistake, can I use it? And it's basically an innocuous product, hashgacha-wise, and therefore, even though it may not have one of the hashgachas that we normally use, but the product is okay. That may apply to Pesach also, on a product-by-product. However, when I see somebody continually calls me that, oh, by mistake I bought this product from this thing, by mistake I bought, and it's every day, then I usually tell them they can't use it. Because then it's not b'di'evit anymore, then it's l'chatchila that they call me only b'di'evit after l'chatchila they buy it. So that's not called b'di'evit. In any case, there's another thing to be concerned about. Even the hashgachas that we accept normally, but products with matzah meal should not be used. The real Mahadran hashgachas don't use matzah meal in their products because they're mahadra only to use shmura matzah or at least 18-minute matzah meal. 18-minute matzah meal means the following. There are a few different kinds of matzah you should be aware of when you buy matzah. There's matzah shmura, which can be hand matzah or machine matzah. And those, if it has the good hashgachas, you can buy them. And then some people are makbid to only eat shmura matzah the whole Pesach. That's a chumra, a hither. It's not necessary. It's only necessary to have shmura matzah for the matzah that you yotzei, the mitzvah of matzah by the Seder. La halacha, that's all you need. Those kizesim have to be shmura matzah. Even that is a chumra. But that, we're knowing like that. The whole, I mean, that's how the, I think it's the world is knowing, but the frum world is knowing like that. To use matzah shmura, Mishas Ktsira for what's it called, wheat that was already watched from the time that it was harvested, L'shem Mitzvah Matzah, and obviously from Chametz, and that's what we use for the Mitzvah of Matzah. You want to be Machmer and use it all the whole Seder, is another hither. You want to use it all Pesach, is another hither. There are reasons for this Hidurim, that's a hither. So you can use regular matzah that's not shmura matzah. In other words, the matzah was started to be watched from the time, basically, that it was flour. Mishas lisha. From the time that it was mixed with water. Before that, it wasn't watched specially. The wheat wasn't cut special, and the flour wasn't ground special, or whatever. And that's okay for the whole Pesach. As long as it has a good hashgach. Now, there isn't hand matzah made like that. You can't get hand matzah that's not shmura matzah. All hand matzah is shmura matzah. The problem is only with machine matzah. So machine matzah can be shmura matzah, made with this special flour, and therefore it costs more, because a lot more hashgacha went into it, and a lot more cost went into it, so it costs more. Or you can get regular matzah, not shmura. In there's also two kinds. There's one kind that's we call 18-minute. What it's called in the Israeli market is, I think it's called Chayim Minutim, it says on the thing. But it says what? Chay Regaim, right. But it's, there's maybe another. You have to be very careful because there's, and then there's matzah that's regular matzah. May have a hashgacha from the hashgachas that we use, it probably would only have Rabbanut Yerushalayim Mahadrin hashgacha on it, or an OU, maybe something like that. The 18 minute means that they clean the machines out every 18 minutes. They run a run of 18 minutes, and then they clean the machines. That ensures that no dough got left in the machine to become chametz, and then inadvertently got mixed into the next batch. If it's not 18 minute, that means they don't clean the machines every 18 minutes. And the machines they have now are very mishuklal, and the chances of chametz getting mixed in are minimal, but it happens. But they don't clean the machines in between. That matzah we don't use. Bechlal, for the whole Pesach. Want to eat after Pesach, before Pesach, if you eat matzah before Pesach, it's under 8. But not on Pesach. That matzah you can't eat on Pesach. not here. Therefore, a lot of products are made with matzah meal. And no product that I know of is made with matzah meal that's dafka 18-minute matzah meal. So if it has matzah meal in it, it's not okay to use here. The products that are mahadrin, because most of the mahadrin hashgachas are chassidish to a certain degree, so they don't eat kebracht. So they don't use matzah meal for other reasons. They don't even use shmira matzah meal. So they only use potato starch or other things. So those, no problem. But an OU hashgacha, or even a Rabbanut Yerushalayim mahadrin hashgacha, yes, uses matzah meal in certain products, and you should be careful not to buy those products. Okay, even if they come from the hashgachas that we use. Okay. And you should make sure that when you buy matzah for Pesach, that you buy, if you're not buying for the Seder, that you buy at least the 18-minute matzah and not the regular machine matzah. Okay. Next. Okay, any questions on this? Because I want to make sure that it was clear. Because people get confused. And I know last year and in past years, people have ended up buying the wrong kind of matzahs. Yeah?
Products like gefilte fish usually have matzah meal.
Right. Except, no, that's not true. It's gefilte fish with mahadrin hashgachas does not has potato starch in it. Doesn't have matzah meal. During the year, it has matzah meal. On Pesach, they don't put matzah meal in. Most of them. Because it's gebracht. And most of the people who use these mahadran things don't eat gebracht. So they couldn't make gefilte fish with matzah meal. Nobody would buy it. But look again, you'll see. It doesn't have matzah meal. Only during the year it has matzah meal, not on Pesach. Okay. But that's a good example. If it does, you can't use it. Not here. You use it after Pesach, not on Pesach.
From a theoretical point of view, what about buying matzah, either Chayver Gaim or Shmura Matzah with a Hashgacha that we don't normally hold by, like a Sephardi Hashgacha?
We hold some Hashgacha. That's a good question, not because of the question, because of what I'm going to use it for. We do not use Sephardi Hashgachas because they're Sephardi. There's nothing to do with it being Sephardi. We don't use the Atara, Beis Yosef Hashgacha, right? That's not because it's Sephardi, because it's not a good Hashgacha, right? Not for Sephardim, not for Ashkenazim, not for Italianos, not for Romayim, not for anybody, right? Even though people swear by it, and they only use that, but the information I have is that it's a very shabby Hashgacha, okay? That's the organization is not a good organizational Hashgacha. And even though it has Rav Yosef's name on it, the information I have is that he's not involved enough to make it a tip-top Hashgacha. Okay. So it's not because it's Sephardi. V'horaya, Rav Machpud is also a Sephardi. We use his products during the year. Okay. So his Hashgacha is a fine Hashgacha. Okay. So it has nothing to do with being Sephardi or whatever. Now people call me all the time with Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef is, besides the name of a Hashgacha, is also the Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch, Beis Yosef. It also means the standards of Shechita that the Beis Yosef is makbid on, which the Ramah, according to Ashkenazim, sometimes don't have to mak. Usually they're bigger kepedas than Ashkenazim hold. Okay? So Sephardim don't like to use Ashkenazi hashgachos that aren't makbid on the Sephardi halacha. Okay. So therefore a lot of Ashkenazi hashgachos say that their meat is good even according to the Beis Yosef. That's not a Beis Yosef hashgacha, that's talking about the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. That Beis Yosef is fine. Right? People call me all the time, oh, it says it's good according to Beis Yosef, we can't use it. No, we can use it. Right? You just can't use the Hashgacha that's called Atara, that's also called Beis Yosef. That's the name of that Hashgacha. That Hashgacha we don't use. Okay. Rav Machpud you can use, except on Pesach, you have to be very careful. Because since it's a Sephardi Hashgacha on Pesach, they give Hashgacha, even Mahadrin, for Kitnias. Because for them it's Mahadran. So there you have to be very careful if you're using one of the Sephardi Hashgachas that it's not Kitnius. That it says, Gam lo ochle Kitnius. Okay, not Rak le ochle Kitnius. And you have to check those labels very good, because especially if you're not used to being here, for the new people here, right? Because a lot of things with really good hashgachas that are only for ochle kitnias. Now, the Bedatz does not give hashgacha to anything with kitnias. Neither does Bells, to the best of my knowledge. Neither does Sheris, right? Those hashgachas, you don't have to look to see if it says ochle kitnias. But Rav Charlap, who we use, Mahadran, gives hashgachas also ochle kitnias. Rabbanut Yerushalayim, Mahadrin, also gives to Ochle Kitnias. Rav Machpud, for sure, gives La Ochle Kitnias. So if it doesn't say on it, Gam Lelo Ochle Kitnias, that it's also for people who don't eat kitnias, then you have to assume that maybe it has kitnias in it. Okay. What is kitnias? So here, the oils that are available, some people only use olive oil, some people use nut oils, walnut oil, there's also palm oil, which if you can get past what it looks like, or what they say it does to your heart, whatever, but it's, those oils are for sure okay, according to everybody, if they have a good hashgach. Then there's cottonseed oil. Now, I don't think you can get it here too easily. There are products, though, that they bring in from Chutz Laaretz with good Mahadran Hashgachas that use cottonseed oil. You can use cottonseed oil. If you get it, you can use it in Chutz Laaretz. That is the oil that everybody uses Mahadran. All the Hasidic Hashgachas, everybody uses cottonseed oil. That is the oil that they use. And there is no minig Eretz Yisrael not to use cottonseed oil. There are some poskim who hold you can't, but it's not minig Eretz Yisrael per se. Depends on the place. And in Moshav Matityahu, we are no way to use cottonseed oil. Okay. So you can use cottonseed oil, and you can use products that have cottonseed oil if they come from hashgachas that we accept, especially Chutz Laaretz hashgachas. That's where you're going to find a lot of good hashgachas with cottonseed oil. Here in Eretz Yisrael, you're not going to find too much cottonseed oil from the hashgachas that we use. Okay, but you can use it. Next thing I've been asked, quinoa. Quinoa. Q-U-I-N-O-I-A. It's, the people who were raising their eyebrows are not the health people. Okay. It's some kind of something. I won't say a grain, because if we a grain, then it surely would be kidneys. It's something, some kind of plant, that's supposed to be very healthy. People use it in place of, I don't know what, hot dogs. I don't know what they use it in place of. Something, I don't know what they use it in place of. But in any case, it's a big machlokas whether it is kitnias or not. There are good hashgachas in America that don't consider it kitnias. Rav Heinemann, the Star K, considers quinoa, whatever, however you pronounce it, not kidneys. And they use it in their products. They also hold you can buy it even if it doesn't have a special hechsher for Pesach from certain companies where they know that's all they produce and there's no problem with it. Here in Eretz Yisrael, for the most part, it's considered kidneys. Okay. Kamat across the line, or aboard. Therefore, what I tell people is the following. If you don't need to use it for health reasons, for some reason you can't use other things, or you're used to using this, and you're using it for health reasons, then you can use it. If it's not for health reasons, stop to use it for 7 days, you can do without it. Believe me, I've tasted it. You can do without it for 7 years. They can do without it. So if you don't need it for health reasons, consider it kitnias. Kitnias, if you need it, sometimes for health reasons, okay too. So even if it is kitnias, it could be if you need it for health reasons, okay. So but you don't have to have the real health reasons for regular kitnias. Since there are poskim who hold that it's not kitnias, If you need it for health reasons, you can rely on them here. And if you don't need it for health reasons, then across the board, pretty much, don't use quinoa. So we consider it kidneyous, at least l'chatchila. Next thing, and this I still haven't gotten clear myself what things this applies to, of the hashgachas that we use. That's called kidneyous shenishtanu. Kidneyous shenishtanu means the following. They're not the kidneys themselves. They're not even the oils that come out of the kidneys, because that we do hold is usur. You can't use peanut oil if you hold it peanuts or kidneys. Okay. And the most people don't eat peanuts on Pesach, even though Ramosha Feinstein says that peanuts are not kidneys necessarily, but the minig was not to use them by many people. But the minig is, I think in America, nobody ate peanuts. The shiloh was only peanut oil because it's not mamish peanuts, and that we hold that the oils of kidneys we don't use. So therefore, canola oil you can't use or whatever, only if you're a Sephardi and use kidneys. But this is different. This is, the kidneys change completely. They are produced with in a way chemically that they're no longer the same kidneys. They're grown on molds or whatever with kidneys. That includes citric acid. Now, citric acid, if it doesn't have a good hashgacha, could be chametz gomer. Because citric acid is produced sometimes from cultures. That's the word. It's a mold, but it's a culture. Called a culture. The cultures, mold sounds like it does like the bathroom. The cultures that could be chametz gomer, according to some, is mamish chametz. So if it doesn't have a good hashgacha and has citric acid, be very careful. Even if it has a good hashgacha, there are good hashgachas that hold that citric acid, lecithin, is another thing like that. It's a kidneyous derivative. It's not mamish kidneyous. And they hold you can use these. There's a lot of Swiss chocolates that they originally had. You'll see on many of the things says does not contain lecithin, even though on the ingredient says lecithin. But for Pesach, they take it out, but they can't make new labels, so they just either cross it out or they put on it without lecithin, and it says lecithin and a little stira, but it's, you should understand that they just changed the ingredients, but they didn't change the wrapper. We, in the past, have not used products with kidney shenishtanu. Not things that have citric acid can be okay if the culture is not kidneys. It could be a culture from potato starch or something. I don't know exactly what it, but same thing with other kinds of things. So the good hashgachas usually don't use these kidney shenishtanu. Now I was under the impression that the OU in America does not use kidney shenishtanu. Last year, Rabbi Stein from Rehovot told me that it's not true, that the OU in America does use kidney shenishtanu. I haven't yet been able to see for sure one way or the other. In the past, we've allowed OU products that have citric acid, thinking that the citric acid is not kidney shenishtanu, but has other bases, which there is citric acid that's 100% okay. And I was under the impression that the OU is makbid to only have citric acid from those things. Last year he told me not like that, and I'm not 100% sure what the metzias is. I plan to speak to Rabbi Gimak, I hope, in the next few days, and then that will make a difference whether we use those products with citric acid that have an OU on them or not. Otherwise, for the most part, the hashgachas that we use are anyway are makbid not to use kidney shenishtanu, and therefore it can be sure that they're not using those things. One of the hashgachas that perhaps does use kidney shenishtanu, right, is the chsam sofer hashgacha. That's why a lot of hashgachas change for Pesach, that had bedats, that had sheiris, and all of a sudden for Pesach they only have chsam sofer. Part of the reason is some of these things. Okay, in any case. But that is, that's another thing, and that I will try to check up on. It really only is nogeya to things like mushroom. A lot of things have citric acid in them, mushrooms or whatever, and sometimes they're not available with other hashgachas, but they're available with an OU. And usually in the past we said you can use them. I'm not 100% sure if that's going to be this year or not. Not sure. Okay. Any questions on products? Anybody? Yeah, yeah.
Shemin Zayis, Lamar. Does that apply to Hashgach Professor?
What?
Shemin Zayis, Lamar.
Lamar?
Yeah.
Doesn't have a Hashgach Professor?
I personally haven't been. My wife asked me to ask her off. Does it apply to Hashgach Professor?
Get it with it. I'm sure they have one Hashgacha for Pesach.
It says on some of them, but that's not for Pesach.
I'm not sure if the reason is because they're afraid people use it for food reasons. Or because it doesn't have chametz in it. Right? It's just... it doesn't have any chametz. Okay? What could be the problem with it? I'm not 100% sure. Maybe just the fact that it's made on equipment, maybe of other oils or whatever. It's not for eating, and even if there is something there, it's nifsal me'achilas kelev. That's the reason why it's shemen lamar, because it's not edible. So if there's anything in there that even has a chash of chametz, it's not edible, and therefore you can use it for burning. Maybe mekayim beer chametz with it too, but that's not the case. But in any case, I'm not sure. If there's ones with Hashgacha, get the ones with Hashgacha for Pesach. I mean, I'm sure there are. Okay. Yeah.
Paper plates, the plastic covered paper plates.
Okay, plastic covered paper plates are not a problem. Plastic plates, plastic covered paper plates. There are no such thing as paper plates anymore, right? It's all plastic.
No, we can get them in.
Regular paper. Okay, regular paper that's not plastic coated, mikra din is okay. However, it's better if you have just paper things, or even paper towels or whatever, unless it has a special hashgacha for Pesach, that you shouldn't use it for hot things. Shouldn't put, you know, hot things directly on it or whatever. You can use it for cold things, you can use it to wipe your mouth with, you can use it for cold foods. But hot foods, you get the plastic things.
Some of the paper plates use kidneys.
Yeah, that's the problem. The problem is they use starches, which are probably kidneys. So it could be that it doesn't go into anything. It's already mixed into the paper, whatever. But better since there are things with a heksher, so use it with a heksher. Why not? And most people don't use, most of the things are not paper anymore, they're all plastic. The plastic ones are for sure okay, even though there's some poskim who hold it the way the plastic is made, they also use something, but that's completely not roy for any kind of eating, and it usually doesn't have any effect on the food, right? Bottle, mavotl, that you don't have to worry about. Yeah. Same thing with styrofoam, it's okay. Yeah.
There are certain lists in Chutzlarts where you have products that are not kosher for Pesach, but they write that you can use them on Pesach from like reliable evidence.
I mean, they don't say kol Pesach.
Walnuts or things like that that are
right. Yeah, there are things like that that there's no chash on them. They're raw things.
Olive oil. Like right. I know they're specific from Italy that they use it without if there's OU.
Yeah, it depends. It depends because then the OU says that they know the plant doesn't produce other things. And that brand happens to be okay the whole year for Pesach because if you buy it before Pesach, even though it was something that could have, by accident, got mixed in, it's bottle mavut.
So those lists are okay?
Yeah, those it depends who made the list.
Star K or...
If the Star K made the list, except for quinoa, it's okay. Yeah.
Frozen items from regular hashgachas that we use, regular Mahadran hashgachas that we use, such as chicken or meat, have they have a kosher of Pesach?
Pashtus not. But since there are most of the things that we use have hashgachas for Pesach, say that for Pesach, meaning most of the things the whole year round, right, they are makbid that the workers don't eat their sandwiches while they're salting your chickens. Okay? They don't bring anything into the plant. But they're not really, you know, standing over them watching Pesach. They're extra careful. So when it says kosher Pesach, it means that they bedafka made an effort. And during the year, that's the protocol, right? That's their nahug. But they're not, you know, don't look. Can't say every day they're watching to make sure. So therefore, it's probably okay, right? But if you have something that says kosher Pesach, the same thing, better to get the one that says kosher Pesach.
And on the same note, the Haredis are so careful to read, and so many of their products look a little Pesach or Rakli Motashana. So something that has their Hashgacha on it that doesn't say anything, can you assume it's okay for Pesach?
No. It has to say Kosher Pesach.
Even though they're so careful.
They're only careful to do that when they know that the Hashgacha is given over to somebody else for whatever. I mean, on Angel's Bread, it doesn't say. Not, what's it called, only L'Kol Hashana, and don't use it on Pesach. Because they know that there is nobody that will give Hashgacha to that for Pesach. So you'll make what? Yeah, okay, but till now, you're not. And just because it doesn't have a Bedat for Pesach does not mean that it's not okay. The Bedat has reasons why they don't give Hashgachas that have nothing to do with Halacha per se for Pesach for various reasons. Think pages that they have, you know, they don't give Hashgacha, even if a reliable Hashgacha says it's okay sometimes, if they themselves can't check it out. So it could be that if somebody else checked it out, it's okay, but they weren't there and they didn't send their Mashgich, which is fine. But it doesn't mean it's not okay. Yeah.
I thought I read somewhere that the Indian milk from cows feed them hummus for 24 hours of milking, so it's not to drink.
Yeah, all the Mahadrin, first of all, the halacha in Chutz La'aretz, mostly for people who weren't makben on Chol of Yisrael, okay, in America. Most of the dairies, don't have milk that's special kosher for Pesach, right? They don't change the feed of the animals. And there the halacha is pretty clear that if you buy it before Pesach, so even if the animals ate chametz feed, it's zeves egorim and it's mutter 100%. The only shaila is if it's from cows that were milked on, what's it called, on Pesach, and they ate chametz, then it's a shaila. Anything bought before Pesach. And I think that much of the, even regular milk here, Tanuva milk or whatever, is from cows that ate regular things, and it's all before Pesach. I think even the Tanuva Mahadran things all says before Pesach. It's all milk before Pesach. Huh?
The same chicken feed?
Right, chicken feed too. We used to change the chicken feed here before Pesach. Right, but chickens also. Chickens ate regular things, buy it before Pesach, no problem.
That wasn't because of the kashrus of the chickens that were shechted.
That was also because of that. Because of Zevzegorim. That's... Yeah, that's only because it won't be eaten up and you have problems of Balyuran Balyumotzi. Not because of what the animals are going to eat.
And the chickens?
No, no, no. We're afraid that the chickens won't eat up everything and you'll have chametz around. So from 30 days before, you're mechuyev to worry about... But it's also a shaila with what the chickens eat and what the meat comes from. But if it's all before Pesach, it's zev zegorim, it's 100% mutter. Yeah.
There are cereals and that say nan de bra and that you may take also
We don't use some sulfur. For if it has other hashgachas on it, including the Kesam Sofer. Okay, those things, especially for Pesach, we don't use it. And if the fact that it doesn't have other hashgachas on it says something, the Kesam Sofer takes over all the hashgachas that, you know, are mahadrin the whole year and don't give hashgacha to these things for Pesach, all of a sudden they have a chesam sofer on it. Okay, the information I have is that both chesam sofer hashgachas, both in Bnei Brak and Petach Tikva, are not that they're not reliable, they are not, the standards of the Hashgacha are not up to par. Yeah. They only have some sulfur?
No.
They have a...
They take off the
badats. And I understand. They have an OK? An OU?
No.
They don't have an OK?
No.
I'm surprised. Check it and see.
There are other brands that have the
Hashgacha. So then get the other brands. If there's another brand, if it's something you can't get something similar to it, then ask me again. If you can get something with a good Hashgacha, get the one with not the some sulfur. They're definitely, well, I remember last year looking around that there were chocolate chips with the badats. And again, here the problem is lecithin that some hashgachas accept, even though its source is kidneys. And the badats doesn't. So if the chocolate chips have lecithin, it is a problem for us. Okay. And it sometimes doesn't have to say. Okay. Yeah.
Is there a problem with matches?
Matches?
I once heard that the red part on the end that you strike, that it's made of something chlamydia, and I've
it's noticed definitely not edible.
Not edible. Like,
right. Dogs don't eat matches, for the best that I know.
You've heard
it
every time you use it.
And no, that's no. There's no normal matches.
What about soaps and shampoos?
Okay, that we'll get to. That's drugs and cosmetics. Okay. Any other questions on food items? We'll go on to the next thing. Okay, next thing. Cleaning your house. Who?
Jam?
Jam, if it has a good hashgacha, it has a good hashgacha. If it doesn't have a good hashgacha, then it's not the same as anything else. It's an okay. No, don't ask me everything, but some sulfur is not something we use, especially for Pesach. Especially for Pesach. And jam can have a lot of problems in it. It has citric acid in it, a lot of the jams and jellies. They have other things that need a good hashgach. And we don't consider it a good hashgach, so you can't use it. Okay. And don't call me tomorrow and say, oh, I bought it already, and b'dieved, could I use it? Pesach, I'm going to tell you that put it away till after Pesach. And b'dieved, you could use it after Pesach. Yeah. What? Who? Kehillah's okay. Yeah. Yeah, little babies can eat kidneys too. Till what age? It depends on why the baby needs it. If they need it, they need it. It's preferable to do what's healthy for the baby. If it's not necessary, then it's preferable not to give them things that they shouldn't eat. Yeah. Matzah ashira. Yeah, with a good hashgacha is okay, but you have to know why the child needs it. Why he can't eat something different? Okay. Okay. Next. Cleaning the house. Even though women like to go overboard and really clean their houses well for Pesach, which is no problem, as long as you don't ask me to help you, no problem at all. But you should make your priority to clean for Pesach. And do those things that are necessary before you do things that aren't necessary, and then end up at the end in a panic and the necessary things aren't done because you spent, 4 weeks cleaning your screens or whatever. What's necessary is any place there could be edible chametz. So you have to clean it well that even crumbs shouldn't be there. Any place where there's not really edible chametz, dirty, and nobody would eat it, there we are not makpid on crumbs. As long as you make the crumbs unedible is fine. I'll give you examples in a little while. All you have to do is wash your floors. You don't have to get on your knees and check to see if there's crumbs between the tiles or whatever. All you have to do is vacuum your rug. You don't have to do any more than that. And places where there could be edible chametz have to be checked or put away and segregated with your chametz things that you're selling, like briefcases or toys or whatever that you don't want to go through. Just put them away in the place where they're segregated, behind the mechitza or whatever, in another room that you're closing up, and sell them with your chametz. But those things could have edible chametz, and even crumbs then are a problem. Svarim. You don't have to go through every book, because they're crumbs, and they're not edible kind of crumbs anybody's going to eat. You shouldn't bring those svarim to the table during Pesach if you didn't check them page by page. If you want to bring svarim to the table, you should check the svarim page by page if you ever ate while you were learning those svarim, or if you possibly could eat when you were learning those svarim. If you never ate with a sefer open, you never had a sefer open, right? Or you never ate, one of the two. Then you don't have to worry. Then you can bring the sefer to the table too. But if you eat when you read, and it's possible that you were eating when you were learning that sefer or reading that book, you shouldn't bring it to the table on Pesach, but you don't have to check every book and every sefer for crumbs. Hold on with the questions, not yet. That's a general rule. So any place where there could be chametz, and if you have little children, that's any place there could be chametz. If you don't have little children around the house, then you know where you bring chametz and where you don't bring chametz. If you never bring chametz into the bedroom, and you don't have little children, right, then you know that you don't have to really clean your bedroom for Pesach, because you never brought chametz into there. If you never brought chametz into your attic, you don't have to check your attic. And similar, any other place that you know for sure that you never brought chametz, and you don't have little kids running around with chametz where it could be anywhere, maybe not the attic, because maybe they can't get up into there, then you don't have to check that place or clean it for Pesach, and that's that. Okay, we'll get to koshering or whatever. Let me so you have to check, make sure with your kids or whatever, check their school bags, their, what's it called, toys, the everything, what's it called, anything that could possibly be that their pockets of their clothing, right, all of those things have to be checked for chametz. Okay, anything about cleaning the house, I'd rather take the questions, and yeah, I'm not the one, my wife will tell you, who's a big bookie in cleaning the house. I watch sometimes, but yeah.
With the books, do we have to take all the books off the bookshelf and wipe down the bookshelf?
If you ate in those rooms and could possibly have taken out a sefer while you were eating a sandwich and something fell on the shelf, yeah, then you have to take off the books, and possibly there's, if that's not the case, then you just have to see that the parts that are exposed are, there's no chametz there, wipe them down, whatever, and then it's nothing, no more problem.
And what constitutes edible chametz? Is there a period of time in which you kind of assume, like, if I haven't been in a cabinet for a year, can I assume that anything that might be in there?
No, because even if it's not edible, but it's a kazayas, and there could be big pieces of chametz or whatever. That
I'm thinking more like luggage that I put away that's been stored or things like that. That's not likely that chametz.
You're afraid that what? That the luggage had chametz in it when you use the luggage?
No, like I have a whole lot of boxes and some things that are stored that are in a corner that I don't.
You never go into there.
I probably haven't been there in over a year. So I have to pull it down and take it.
Well, then you should have asked me the question last year.
Right, I don't remember.
If you didn't go into that area with chametz, okay, and it's really not accessible, you don't have to worry about it. It's like the attic. Yeah.
You had said something about putting stuff away with the mechitza. Does that include the refrigerator? Like I could put chametz in the door of the refrigerator?
That's not part of a separate topic, so I'll answer it now. If you're going to have chametz that you're putting away, oh no, the truth is, yeah, we have mechiras chametz. So hold on to the question until then. Yeah.
Does it have to be a halachic mechitza or to be
hold off the mechitzas. Yeah.
Mark said it's your pockets of clothing. So clothing that's good for a washing machine, does that make it unedible?
Yes.
Everything on a shelf that's
yeah. Clean? Any clothing that's been cleaned before Pesach and hasn't been used since then, You don't have to go search for the pockets. Anything that was in there, either was dry cleaned or washed, is bottle and whatever. It couldn't be more than, you're not going to find a sandwich in your pocket or whatever. Right?
It's only. Wafer in a package.
Who?
You could find a whole wafer of candies in packages.
Not if they were washed.
Yes, after they're washed, if you have kids, it's
don't you. I won't ask an embarrassing question. Don't you check the pockets before you put it in your washing machine?
No.
Okay, I'm not the one to ask the question. It's, my wife will give it to me afterwards. Like, what do you know about washing machines? Except that I turn it on Rosh Chodesh, that's all.
What? Invert the pockets because they actually inside the pockets themselves.
Who?
Invert the pockets.
Yeah.
Because even if the pockets are not, even though the machine's all wet, the crumbs are not necessarily become part of the crumb. So
that's
I had a log go through the wash and nothing got affected from it. Everything, the writing was still home, everything. Checks, everything.
But the crumbs become. Not nobody's going to eat those crumbs that went and were soaked in soapy water. What?
The washing here don't fill up totally with water. It's not like they're soaking it up.
So how do you clean the clothes?
It splash around. It's not like all.
But they have to get wet.
Yeah, but they don't get necessarily
clean. If you wash the clothes, it's okay. Yeah?
What's a bacher's job in the yeshiva?
What's a bacher's job in the yeshiva? What? To clean your room? The same way that everybody else cleans their room too. The same, whatever we're saying now goes to a house, goes to your room too. Unless you are not going to be here, you're closing up the room, they don't have to do anything. Just close it up. We're not going to use it over Pesach and sell it with your chametz, which we'll get to when we sell it. Okay. Next. Okay, any other questions on cleaning? Okay. Next, the kitchen. Kashering and cleaning things for Pesach. Start with the refrigerator. Refrigerator has to be cleaned out well. Okay. And any areas like in the seal around the side, the rubber seal has to be cleaned well. Areas you can't get to, pour bleach into or something like that, that will nullify whatever's there. The areas you can get to, you should get to and clean out well. You don't, if you move your refrigerator regularly, then you have to move it and clean behind it too. Things that you don't move regularly, cabinets, right, that you have to take apart to see if something fell behind them or whatever, you don't have to take them apart. And things that you don't usually move, you don't have to worry about them. The chametz that, even if there's chametz there, it's inaccessible, and bittul chametz helps for that. The shelves have to be cleaned well. They don't have to be covered. Most of the things, you don't put hot chametz on those shelves directly or whatever in a refrigerator. Put it in a pot or you put it in a plate or something. Just make sure there's no chametz be'en and that the shelves and everything is clean. That's the refrigerator. If you want to cover the shelves, matovu manoyim, but like we say every year, if you cover the shelves and don't put holes for the air to circulate, you may kill the motor of your refrigerator and the food may spoil. So you won't have any benefit of a refrigerator, except that you'll pay the electric bill. And if you put holes into it, then it is like the Chelm story where they wanted the Shamus to stand out, so they bought him gold shoes. But when he walked in the mud covered his shoes. So they bought him galoshes to cover the gold shoes. But then they realized that they couldn't see the gold shoes because they're galoshes, so they cut holes in the galoshes. If doing that in the refrigerator is the same thing. So there's no need to cover the shelves. Just make sure they're cleaned well. That's a refrigerator. Any questions on refrigerators? Next. Yeah.
I have a refrigerator in my back room past that we're storing for somebody that hasn't been used in a long time, and it got kind of moldy on the inside at one point. Can I just sell that? Do I have to go through it and clean it? It's not being used.
You're not going to use it? You can just sell it. The oven. Okay, it is preferable to have a separate oven for Pesach. That's the ideal. okay, and not to have to worry about your oven. If you don't have a separate oven for Pesach, then the top, the stove top, which is usually gas here, some people have electric. Nobody, to my best knowledge, has over here some of the exotic kinds of what's it called, stove tops, right, griddle tops, or whatever. I don't think anybody has. In America, they're very common. Here, I haven't yet seen them. Most people have gas. So here, you have to kosher the tripod that the pots sit on above the gas. You can do that either by putting them into somebody's self-cleaning oven, which is the easiest way of doing it. You can do it by bringing it up when they do koshering and have it done with a blowtorch. Or you can do it by putting the thing over the fire in the dark and waiting until it gets red hot and moving it around so all the different parts of it get red hot. That's better to do one of the other two things. Either bring it up and do it with a blowtorch or whatever. That's the place where the pots sit. The rest of the oven top, the stove top, should be covered with heavy-duty aluminum foil. And if you're not using that real, like not a foil, but you know, real aluminum metal, then double layer of that heavy-duty aluminum foil so it won't tear. And that covers off all the area. Clean it off well. You don't have to kosher it. Just clean it well and put this double layer of aluminum foil on the areas that are exposed where pots are put down or whatever, not where they're cooking. The drip pan, where the things that spill over or whatever go underneath that tripod, there you should have separate ones for Pesach. They have disposable ones. Use the disposable ones or get new ones for Pesach and use them every year. What else? The gas, the place where the gas comes out, you don't have to do anything to. It koshers itself as it burns, whatever. And that's the top. If you have a hood over your, if you have electric, just leave the coils get red hot. That koshers them, and the rest of it do the same thing we said with gas. If you have a hood, the hood should be, it absorbs a lot of whatever and could fall back into the food. So you should cover it with what's it called, with aluminum foil, clean it well, cover it with aluminum foil. If the hood is really close by to the stovetop, which usually it's not, you may have a problem the whole year with Basar B'Cholov, not just Pesach. But usually it's not the case. Okay, usually the steam that comes up is already not Yadzal lettuce, but when it hits the hood. So it's not really a problem. It's only a problem at the end of things falling back into the food, and Pesach, we're worrying about it during the year, and not really worried about it. The oven. So if you have a self-cleaning oven, okay, self-cleaning oven, you put on a special thing, it gets hot, that is good enough to kosher for Pesach. It's not good enough to kosher from treif, but for Pesach it's good enough. And so if you have a self-cleaning oven, use it. Make sure it works. If you have to do a second thing, it says in the thing how to kosher up, how to make the self-cleaning thing, do what the instructions say. If you don't have a self-cleaning oven, then the next best thing of having a separate oven for Pesach is to have an insert, an oven insert. Meaning you have different racks inside a metal box that fits into your oven, and you do all the baking inside that metal box. Then you clean the oven well, the outside, your regular oven, put this box inside, right? Cleaning well means with oven cleaner, whatever, make sure that it's pretty clean, and then you put this box inside with its own racks, and you basically are baking inside this box. That's next from having a separate oven. Next, if you can't do that for some reason, and there are reasons not to do it. First of all, it's an expense. Second of all, if you didn't think about it till now, it may not be ready before Pesach, this year at least. Third of all, my wife tells me that it doesn't bake well inside that box because you can't know what the temperatures are. The thermostat is meaningless once you have that box inside. and things may not bake or cook the way you would want them to. That's possible also. Next, the thing down. If you didn't get one good Eitzah Tova from a Baal Nisayon, if you do get a box like that, measure the oven from the inside measurements, not the outside measurements of the oven. Okay. The V'day L'chakima B'remiza. Okay. The what? Actually, one of my kids did it. The and Erev Pesach, we finally picked up our oven insert and went to put it in the oven, and it fit great. If there would have been a hole that was the whole size of the from one wall to the other. In any case, I don't remember what we did, but we did something. The we think we got another oven. In any case, the next thing, which is also okay, but it's not ideal, is to kasher your oven. Kashering the oven, there are those that hold that you can only kasher an oven if you blow torch the inside. Don't try it. Okay? I did that when I was a kid to my mother's oven. And that was the end of that oven. If you blowtorch an electric or gas oven, even a gas oven, you're going to kill the thermostat for sure, and you may just kill everything else in the oven too. So I don't suggest, if you're going to be makbid on blowtorching your oven, get another oven, because you have to get one anyway. So you might as well get it to begin with. The blowtorches are for industrial ovens, not for home ovens. So that's really much out of the question. So we are somech on the fact that you can kasher an oven in the following way. There are people who are more makel than what I'm telling you now. This is the amount that we accept over here. The racks of the oven can't be kashered like this. The racks have to be blowtorched. And it won't hurt the racks at all. May discolor them a little bit. They may get a little bent, whatever, but they won't affect anything in a terrible way. So you should bring up the racks and blowtorch them or put them in somebody's self-cleaning oven. The rest of the oven, the sides of the oven, okay, there you can clean it with oven cleaner. Leave the oven on for the longest you ever left it on under normal circumstances, and switch it between broil and bake, and it's kosher. And then put the racks back in after they were kashered with a blowtorch or in a self-cleaning oven, and that's fine. The broiling pan, where you put things, and they may have onions in there or whatever, or things that are mamish chametz, that you can't use, you can't kasher, put it away, get another one for a Pesach, or don't use a broiling pan on Pesach. What else? Obviously, okay, we're not talking about pots and pans. Pots and pans have special ones for Pesach. If you have to kasher things, so you'll bring them up and the people who kasher will tell you if you can kasher it or not. Don't kasher things at home until you ask a shiloh whether they can be kasher. For instance, baking pans, where you bake cakes, can't be kasher for Pesach. They're aluminum. The only way they could be kashered is if you blowtorch them. And if you blowtorch them, you won't have to worry about it because you have to buy new ones because they won't be around anymore. They'll melt. So there's no way of kashering baking tins, industrial kinds of things that aren't made of aluminum, made of stainless steel, could be sometimes kashered, even though that's not easy to kasher either. But so there are things you can't kasher. That's not the only one. There are many other things. Before you kasher anything, ask if you're going to bring it up to be kashered. Ask if it be kosher or not. Yeah.
A baking pan that I can't kosher for Pesach, but if somebody's koshering for Pesach, could I throw that in? Like doing a self-cleaning oven,
self-cleaning oven. It depends what was wrong.
Source and it's for baking bread in.
What?
It's from a questionable source and it's for baking bread in.
What do you mean a questionable source?
It was like, I think it was milchik. I don't know. Like, I'm not sure.
If it was treif, it was basar b'chalav, they used it for, it was milchik or it was treif?
I'm not sure, that's why I mean.
So that, then it can't be kosher in a self-cleaning oven.
Okay.
Then you need a blowtorch for that. Okay. Okay, next. What's it called? That's the oven.
This question.
Yeah.
The oven? on the doors of a sub-cleaning oven, there's a lot of nooks and crannies that do not get hot, but a lot of food gets in. So when you take the oven down,
yeah,
you have a gloomy going around it, so I guess that's strongly sealed from the cool.
What happens usually is that there's a metal thing that protects the glass of the door that comes down. Well, it doesn't anymore? So the glass also gets, the whole thing gets hot?
Except the door from the gasket out, yeah, doesn't get.
Outside or inside?
No, inside the door, so there's a gasket. But the door is wider than the gasket, by a few inches.
Okay, it's better if you can cover the door, at least, with aluminum foil, if it's better.
Even with the soft cleaning.
Even soft cleaning. The inside of the door you should cover.
Inside, okay. So especially after. If you're self-cleaning and kashering the racks, how many racks can you put in? Can you fill up the whole oven with racks and
pans? If you see, yeah, I don't know the reason. I don't think that makes a difference in the heat of how many things are in the oven. Just the opposite. It could be that each one makes the other thing hotter because there's more things inside. I don't know. It doesn't sound like it should make a difference, yeah.
Obviously, we're kashering the oven, whether we do a self-cleaning oven or not self-cleaning oven. Are we supposed to wait 24 hours before we kasher them?
For kashering with libun, you don't have to wait 24 hours.
Which way is that?
That's this with heat. Where you kasher with what's it called, with hagola, there you have to wait 24 hours. But when you're kashering with libun, it burns away the chametz. So that lechori you don't have to wait 24 hours. Even though this is libun kal, this is not mamish libun. I'm not sure. I have to take a look and see. With the things that you're kashering with a self cleaning oven, not with a blowtorch, not the racks. The racks you don't have to wait 24 hours. That's for sure. The racks you can bring up even if you use them right before, and they're kasher with a blowtorch. You don't have to have 24 hours. The inside of the oven, which is not that hot. That's called libun kal. Then I'm not 100% sure.
Self-cleaning oven is libun kal?
What?
Self-cleaning
oven is libun kal.
It was above 1,000 degrees.
No, it's not. It never gets red hot inside that oven. It's only libun kal. It's kasha nisraf. It's libun kal. Yeah?
The buttons and knobs, if they're clean, they're good, or they need to be covered on the oven itself?
The oven, if they're clean, you don't have to do anything. If they're not cleanable, then you cover. It shouldn't come in contact. There's nothing there that's going to become treif. You're just afraid that there's a be'en. It's going to... Okay, next. Okay, so that's the oven. Next, refrigerator we did, sinks. Yeah?
If there's a new oven and there's new racks, nothing has been used, do the racks need hagala or anything? Or
the racks should be toveled in a mikveh. But kashrus wise, there's nothing you have to do with it. Okay, a sink. If you have a stainless steel sink, you can kasher it. Clean it, leave it for 24 hours. Now, with all the things we're going to mention now, leave it for 24 hours without using it for anything hot, the sink. And you can use it, but just not for hot things. And take boiling water. Boiled in a pot, it should be not a Pesach Tikka pot, regular pot that's also been left for 24 hours. It could be milchik, fleishik, doesn't make a difference. Just leave it for 24 hours, don't use it. That pot you use for kashering. Preferably, you put hot metal that you heat up on the stove or whatever and use a tongs or a pliers to put them around the sink. And pour the water over that hot metal over the sink so it gets to every part and boils, pour it directly into from the pot that was on the fire, and the water has a rolling boil, and it's while it's rolling boil, you take it off and pour it. Or you can use one of these electric kumkums while it's rolling boil and pour it, over the thing.
If it's an electric kumkum, do you have
wait, ask every 2 seconds questions, I'm not gonna. When I finish this with the sink, we'll get to it. Okay, so that is to kasher the sink. You pour boiling water over the spigot where the water comes out, over the knobs too, but those really only have to be cleaned. Pour boiling water down the drain, and also some kind of drain cleaner or or Economica or something like that, that if there's anything stuck in the drain, it becomes nifsal me'achilas kelev, that becomes totally obliterated, and that is the... Also, it's better to change the filter in the spigot. But that's the sink. If you don't have a stainless steel sink, you have a shayish sink, you know, whatever they are made of, porcelain sink, can't kosher it. Clean it well, kosher the spigot, like we said, boiling, boring water over it, change the filter, clean the knobs, and get an insert, an oven, what's it called, a sink insert, and do all of your cleaning of dishes inside that plastic insert. Don't just cover the bottom of the sink. Some people put contact paper or whatever over the whole, inside the whole sink. Still, you should have a plastic tub for doing, not do it inside the sink. Don't wash the dishes in your porcelain sink on Pesach. Wash them only in a dish tub. Okay. And you can either have a drain there, and the dish tub should be a little bit raised above the bottom, so the dishes don't come in contact with the bottom of the sink at all. And that should be raised a little bit above so the water doesn't touch the bottom of the sink and the dishes at the same time. Or don't have a drain and just pour the water out into the sink. That's all. Even with a porcelain sink, you should pour some kind of economica and boiling water down the drain so in case there's any chametz there, it doesn't regurgitate into your sink on Pesach. Okay, now, any questions on sinks? Yeah. The electric kumkum?
For the boiling.
You never used it for chametz.
Right, I mean, yeah. So.
No.
No. And can I use, I've used not metal in the past, I've used rock.
Rocks are okay too.
Yeah. Well, a kumkum you would use, like you would pour it into chametz, that's not the same thing as you do it for chametz.
You pour a kumkum into
chametz? One of those awesome noodle things.
Yeah, then leave it for 24 hours.
Do you have to keep it plugged in while you're pouring?
What?
Do you have to keep it plugged in while you're pouring?
It has to be boiling while you're pouring it, yeah. If you unplug it, it's going to stop boiling.
Okay.
Yeah, so it has to be boiling while you're pouring.
Hagawa with a non-Pesach?
Yeah, because if you use a Pesach one, you're probably going to have to kosher it for Pesach. Okay.
When you're pouring down into the sink to kosher the sink, and you don't think the kumkum is going to make the full sink, can you do like parts of it?
Yeah, part at a time. And then just dry off the part that you did and dry off the parts that you didn't do so they're not wet before you kosher it because the water will cool off the other water.
Now, with all the
when you're koshering it to be dry, it should be dry before you pour the water in. Okay. You don't have to do it all at once. You can do part, but it's not like a mikveh where you have to go all at once. Here you can do part by part.
If somebody does not do a proper job and the water is not bubbling, do they have to wait another 24 hours?
No. No. Okay, next. That sinks. Microwaves, I don't suggest you kosher. Microwaves are cheap enough to buy one and invest and have another microwave for Pesach. Don't kosher microwaves. They're questionable whether you can kosher it altogether, and even if you kosher it, it's not... I'm not going to go into how to kosher a microwave, just don't do it. Get another microwave. Next, what else is in the kitchen? countertops. Countertops. So if they're real shayish, not a mixture of a lot of different kinds of things, but real granite, okay, that can be koshered. Pour boiling water over it. Same thing that we said with the sink, with the stainless steel sink.
Are toaster ovens the same thing?
Toaster ovens are not countertops. The toaster oven, toaster ovens shouldn't kosher. They're much too difficult to kosher. Get another one for Pesach. If they're kosherable at all. Okay. Okay, back to the countertops. If you have formica or not real granite, right, the kind of shayish that came with our houses, way back, that can't be kashered. Okay. Clean it well. You don't have to pour boiling water on it because you're not kashering it. And cover it with something that is basically waterproof so it doesn't get soggy when you put something hot on there or whatever. Use linoleum. There's such a thing anymore. I have a linoleum in my house. Plastic, thick plastic to cover the things. Don't use cardboard or paper or whatever. Use something that has some mushes to it so it really separates between hot pots and the top of the thing. What else is there in the kitchen? Behind the stove also, if there's places where things splash and could splash back, then you clean that back of the stove top and cover it with aluminum foil. The same thing goes for the sink, that where the tiles are, things splash up on there, just clean it good and cover it. You have to cover it. The chances of something splashing and going back onto the thing are very, very minimal, but if you can cover it, better to cover it.
Vent,
put something
on it. Sometimes you can't cover it from the oven.
What?
What you have is a vent from the oven you can't cover.
Ah. But then spins don't flash on there either. Clean it well.
Just make a hole.
Yeah.
Is Evan Kaiser the kind of
brand
that can be kosher?
What? I'm not sure. It hits me maybe yes, that's real stone. It's not a mixture. What? It's a mixture of stuff?
It's a composite.
The company?
It's a composite, I think it's called. It's brown stone mixed with some
titanium. But it's mixed with other things? If it's mixed with other things, you can't kosher. If it's granite, even if it's ground up granite, but just plain granite is okay. But if it's mixed with other things, not okay.
In any case, whatever kind of marble you have, even if it's real stone, there's going to be some kind of seams.
The seams are not that much of a problem, unless there's mamish holes that you can't get into. The seam, just clean out the seam. Okay. Any other things in the kitchen?
What? Chairs in the kitchen.
Chairs?
You have to get the inside, you have to take the cushions off to make sure you get a good cleaning.
Okay, chairs, tables. You should clean well. You don't have to kosher them. Clean them well. Open up the table if it opens up, and clean where food could have gotten into the where it closes. Chairs you should clean. You don't have to take off if the cushions are screwed on. Right, you don't have to take off those screws to take out the thing. Yeah, I understand, but there's no way that it's accessible. So it's crumbs that are not accessible. Right. If you every once in a while take off those cushions to clean the chairs, then you have to do it for Pesach too. If you never take that, unless you're changing the cushions, right? But you never clean in those cushions or whatever, then that's called Chomet Shenoflov Mapolis. No way you can get to it. Right? Nobody's going to go unscrew it on Pesach, and there's no chance that you could eat what's in there, and it's Bittel helps for that.
And if the table's not wooden, you should kosher it?
If the table is you don't have to kosher the table. Just clean the table well, put on a plastic, nice thick plastic covering, not that thin plastic, that stays there the whole Pesach, and put your tablecloths on top of that plastic.
One can reuse the plastics after every year?
For sure. As long as you didn't use it for chametz after that, right. As long as you clean, you put them away. Motzi Yontif, yeah.
You remember which side was the top?
What?
You remember which side was the top, which side was the bottom?
It doesn't make a difference.
So what do you mean?
What? You clean the table. You're not going to have real chametz there, yeah? Yeah.
I don't know if I said not to use a blowtorch in the oven, but instead of covering that oven door that's after the gasket, can you blowtorch that instead of covering it?
I accept no responsibility if you do it. You can do it, yeah. Whether you're going to kill your oven or not, I don't know. I don't know what's in that door. All these things have a lot of things inside that you're not aware of. That you may, all of a sudden hear a pop, and all of a sudden the door doesn't close anymore because you just destroyed a plastic latch that was inside there or something.
No, it's metal around.
Yeah, I know. That's on the outside. What's inside that? I'm not sure. I don't know. Okay, I don't know. Okay, but you may be extra surprised if you, once you put a blowtorch or something, you should realize that it is very stressful to that thing, right? It if you're doing it properly, it really heats the thing up a lot. And if there's things, what?
The self-cleaning, Ratzim, we said before, is a Yibun Kal. So all I need to do on the rest of the door outside that gasket is a place I'm not malicious of eating anyway, Yibun Kal.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. You don't have to blowtorch it to red hot, but it's very difficult when you have a blowtorch on something to make sure that you stop when it's only Yibun Kal. Right? So again, so Eli Hazen takes responsibility. If you do your door, he says it's okay. And if it's not okay, see him. What? Pour boiling water on the door? No. No, because that's, you have to have at least Yibun Kal, and Hagolah is not enough. Yeah.
Well, you just said that a table has to have a heavy plastic, and then...
I didn't say it has to, but that's... The other one's going to get torn.
We usually put a regular... We take down one plastic, and then we always use a tablecloth, and then another plastic. Is enough?
Yes.
Okay, and also, if we take out... If we have folding tables... Do they have to be covered before Pesach?
No.
Or which is when we're going to use them with?
No, when you use them. Yeah.
We're not afraid that what the garden is...
But they have to be cleaned before Pesach.
These sensitive things, these open areas, that's not considered like a cheres or a fair person when they do a proper job? So the highest.
No, you don't make your own gzeres. right. Where Chazal made a gzeres, they made a gzeres, and if not, we assume that if you're going to do it, you'll do it right. Yeah.
I have a pan that I draped that Rav Aaron told me I have to blowtorch. Now, in cleaning out the inside, if it's going to be blowtorch...
You don't have to clean it. If it's going to be blowtorch, you don't have to clean anything. The blowtorch will clean it.
And can it be used for Pesach with a blowtorch too?
I guess so, yeah. Why not? If it could be kashered, and you're kashering with a blowtorch, then you can use it for Pesach too. Yeah.
For Pesach, I'd have to blowtorch the outside as well.
Blowtorch the outside? No, once you blowtorch it, it gets. It depends what was trafe. But I assume if it needs to be blowtorch, it has to get red hot. So red hot will be the outside, inside. The whole thing becomes red hot.
Okay.
What?
I said I never blowtorched anything.
Okay, so. okay, anything else in the kitchen that I'm not familiar with? Dishwasher. Just clean her hands. Anybody here have a dishwasher?
Me.
Yeah?
I'm a dishwasher.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So much easier here in Moshav Matityahu. They look at these svarim, they have all these exotic kalim that people have in their kitchens or whatever. That then there's the garbage... disposal thing, right? Compactor, and I don't know what other things you could have.
Underneath,
what? Underneath?
Dish racks. Some people forget they're exposed to the people hanging dish racks inside cupboards.
Dish racks that you have to hang down.
Yeah.
You have to either clean them. Better get if you can get other ones for facials. Better
cover the area too, because things can fall. Cause
cover them.
There's a hole in the bottom of the cabinet. So let's say you don't even use it.
Right above the sink.
Close that thing over there so something doesn't fall into the sink.
If there's a chash like that, I'm not familiar with what you're talking about, but if there's a chash, something could...
The rope has it.
I have it where?
In his public sink.
Ask my wife. I don't know. I just eat. I don't get involved in the preparations. The,
what? A garbage disposal? That's the thing inside the sink that grinds up stuff that goes down the sink?
So how do you clean that out? I mean, assume that...
You run it and it grinds up whatever's in the sink so it can go down the drain.
So then can you pour Economica in there? So do that before Pesach and let whatever's in there go down the drain. And I mean, you're not eating anything after that from that. I assume. No, I'm saying, but what? That Elamai, that there's chametz in there that's maybe still edible, so get rid of it before Pesach. Just like you had chametz in your garbage, throw it out. Okay.
Can you just go back to the table for one second? If I have a wooden table and I cover
and tape it down. It was a thin plastic. And then I had one of those flannel lined vinyl cloths that I keep on for the whole of Pesach. Is that good enough?
Yes.
Just like that.
Yeah. Okay, what's not good enough is just to keep a tablecloth on it, and then when you've changed your tablecloth, to leave the table bare. There should be something on that table that covers it all the time, and then the tablecloths go on top of that. Yeah.
How do you hold thy brooms?
Yeah. Something like that. last time I held one. What do you mean?
Do we have to throw it out? Do we have to
wash? Oh, better get another broom for Pesach. Use a broom and real mikra adin, you can just brush it out or whatever, but there's always crumbs there, whatever. A broom is not a big investment. Get another broom for Pesach. Okay. Anything else in the kitchen that we skipped?
Hot plate.
What? Hot plate? Oh, yeah. Plata. The plata and a kumkum. Oh, those are what's it called. Where's Libby? She always asked me about her kumkum and her and the plata. I know. That doesn't stop most people. The plata, clean well. Leave it on so it gets hot. Cover it anyway with aluminum foil, and that's all you have to do to a plata. Kumkum, so it depends. These air pots, kumkums, they're all the same thing. If you never wash them with chametz sticker things, okay? They're big things, you don't wash them together with other things, or you may never wash them all together. And you didn't use them for manachama, or any other, and you didn't put your challahs on top of them to heat up on Shabbos or during the week or whenever, right? You didn't put a pizza on top of that to heat up, okay? Then, and you basically kept it segregated from anything that could splash on it hot, it was in a separate place, then you can use that kumkum, wash it out good. You don't have to kosher it. You can use it for Pesach. If any of those other things are true, you put your challahs on it. You made manachama from it. You washed it with chametz sticker stuff. You had it in a place where things splashed on it. Then pretty much you can't kosher it. Get another one for Pesach. That's a kumkum. That's a plata. Anything else? Yes. Just till it's the hottest it gets. It doesn't get any hotter after it gets the hottest it gets. So, a few minutes, I would imagine, is enough.
The wall's not near an oven.
The wall?
It's not walls in the kitchen that kind of splatter somewhere. Stuff from
no, but the walls should don't splatter back from our kumkum.
It could be seen, though. Should it be clean?
What? The stem walls?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's not talking about the kumkum anymore.
No, the walls.
Oh. Stop. Walls, if your walls are coated with pizza or leftover spaghetti, yeah, you should wash them off. If they're right next to the place where you keep food, you should make sure you wash them off real good. But otherwise, if it's just stains because your kid once threw their spaghetti and meatballs on the wall, which happens, right, and you basically cleaned off the majority, but there's still some little specks there. Probably there's no problem, but it's a good idea to wash. What? You don't have to wash down your walls completely.
You can take away some of the paint, the walls. Not everything's washable paint in the walls. A lot of walls don't have washable paint. So if you start scrubbing, you can take off a lot.
So you don't have to scrub the walls. Anything that's on there, real chances you're going to go lick it off. And if there is, see Dr. Nauman. We will. If you're that bad off, we will give you some money to buy food that you don't have to lick the walls. They.
Just spray it with the cleaner.
Yeah. You don't have to. You don't have to scrape the walls. The paint comes off. No, seriously.
If I spray it, it doesn't come off. That's
fine. Yeah.
Regarding the table, if I have a plastic taped onto the table and under a tablecloth,
I need to take it off to adjust the size of the table on Pesach and then put it right back.
Yeah, there's no issue of taking it off. It's just the problem is that you may. The reason why we want something there on there all the time is that you don't forget to put it back or whatever, or you have you use it without a tablecloth for a while. But if you're just doing it to change it, whether you open the table or close it, that's fine. You don't make new Yisroel, not making a new halacha that tables have to be covered, you know, from... It's just that, that's practically speaking, saves problems. That's all. Yeah.
Is window cleaner, like, economical? Like, if I'm trying to get into these crevices, can I spray window cleaner?
Window cleaner?
Yeah. It's got, like, ammonia in it.
It has ammonia?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. If it has ammonia, it's okay. Yeah.
But they're always saying about covering the table. The Rob mentioned before that for those who have a minhag of like covering shelves in the cabinet, even if it's clean, would otherwise would not need to, still have to cover. Would that kind of cover other things? Some covers covers the table.
Only you put food on. Things where you put food. Things you don't put food on, there's no need to cover.
Okay, so the table would be included.
Yeah, but that's there's no halacha that the cover has to be. If you're putting food on there, it should be covered. So if you remember to put the covering on when you put the food on, it's fine. Covering is for no other purpose than to separate between the food and any be'en that may be on there. But it's not going to help covering it for Balyuram Balyamotze if you're afraid of that. So that's not there. Okay. It's only, so whenever you put food on it, you cover it. Same thing with the table. Okay, that's what Dovah just mentioned. The cabinets, shelves, you clean them out well, you don't have to put paper there. If you don't have the minig always to cover them with paper, you don't have to. If all the years you covered it with paper because you thought you had to, and this year you decide that you don't want to, you don't have to. If all the years you knew you didn't have to, but you did it anyway to be more frum, then you may need Hatoris Nedarim if you don't want to cover them this year. Okay?
Kitchen towels that you use during the year.
Kitchen towels, just put them in, wash them in your washing machine. Make sure that your washing machine fills up with water. Yeah. Does it have to be hot water for cloth? I mean, you're putting soap in anyway. It should be hot water, yes. You're not kashering them, but you want to get make sure that everything, any taste or anything is out of there. It's you should use hot water.
So that means I have to put bleach in there. But we don't have hot water connected to our washing machine.
Okay.
So I throw some bleach in there?
Yeah, but are you going to have the towels?
Are you
going to have the towels afterwards if you throw bleach into towels? Are the towels going to disintegrate in bleach? I don't know, man.
It'll be white.
Well, the if you put bleach in there, yeah, that's for sure okay. It probably the soap is not so clear that it's okay, because soapy things are not edible. So just plain soap.
We just talked about
it cleans, but the water cleans it out, and it's and with soap.
It's going to cook it. It'll be nice and delicious.
Tom is
nibbling
at the cloth.
Why is
this
any bit different than the clothing we said that the Tom is in the pocket?
No, because you don't eat. This doesn't come in contact, mamish, with the food, with dishes and things.
You just soak them in a bucket of hot water.
During the year,
you don't have to really do that.
During the year, they have place you can just.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Mistama cleaning it with soap suds and whatever and cold water should be okay too. Yeah? That's the Hashem and the Ma'or. If there's ones with a Heksher, get them with a Heksher.
What about Pesach items, non-Pesach items that we
want to
sell and close off?
Oh, we're going to get to that in a second. Almost. Yeah? The most of them are say kosher l'Pesach Hanukkah. Get the ones that say kosher l'Pesach. It probably is not necessary. Okay? None of these things. I mean, they have oven cleaner that says kosher l'Pesach. It's absurd.
They have bleach
also. Right, bleach also says kosher l'Pesach. It's And even now, the Badatz realizes how absurd it is. They say, be ishur. They don't say that it's kosher l'peisach. They just say, be ishur, the Badatz, that it's bleach. Right? We're ma'asher that it's bleach. So if it's bleach, it doesn't need to be kosher l'peisach. But if they have ones that are kosher l'peisach, use the ones that are kosher l'peisach. But it doesn't cost anything more, and why not?
On couches, the crevices between the pillows.
Anything that is accessible, you have to get to. If you can get accessible with, put your hand in there or a vacuum cleaner, do that. Anything beyond that you can't get to, right? You'd have to take the couch apart. You don't take the couch apart. Or turn it upside down and shake it. You don't do that either. The, okay, next. Drugs and cosmetics. Drugs, we mean trufot. There are lists of, if you need something and it's pikuach nefesh, then take it. There's no shaila. If you can get one that's kosher l'Pesach, fine. If you have drugs that you need to take that are for things that are life-threatening, most of them are going to be okay in one way or the other. If they're not life-threatening, then there are lists of things that are kosher l'Pesach or not. Usually pills, tablets, these kind of things are not really a problem most of the time. The ones that are problematic are the ones that are in syrups, suspensions, which have alcohol, and maybe chametz gomer. So before you give cough medicines, the major problem is cough medicines or liquid medicines. Solid medicines are usually not a problem, but you should check on them. If you have medicines you have to take, bring a list or whatever, and we'll go through it. We have lists. If there are Israeli things, there's Israeli lists. If there are American things, there are American lists or whatever. So, bring the list. The cosmetics, solid cosmetics, like rouge, except for lipstick, you can use regularly. Powder, solid, all of that is okay. Liquid cosmetics could be a problem. Perfumes are definitely a problem. Colognes are definitely a problem. Deodorants, liquid deodorants, and are a problem. Solid deodorants are not a problem. Solid deodorants obviously you can't use on Yontif or Shabbos. If you have shilas, ask, and we'll check to see if the main problem is the alcohol. And if they have real grain alcohol, it could be chametz gomer. If they're, most of the time they're not real grain alcohol, or they're not the grains that make them chametz, or they're denatured. Denatured alcohol is a shaila. We are machmer not to use denatured alcohol. Denatured alcohol is alcohol that is treated in such a way that it's not edible, but it could be reversed. So most deodorants have that. It's called, SD alcohol, specially denatured alcohol, 60, 40, all these things on the deodorants. Some of them have been checked out and that they're not from grains that are chametz grains, and they're from soy or something like that. Some of them are problematic. If you have things like that, you can ask a shaila which ones are known to be okay. I don't have the list yet for this year. Okay. So basically, these things, ask on an individual basis. If you have them, want to use them, drugs or cosmetics, ask on an individual basis, yeah?
What's not Roy Lachie
Laskala? It's not true. It's deodorants, not deodorants maybe, but hair tonic or whatever. Drunks on the Bowery, when they couldn't afford to buy liquor, used to drink that. And beyond the fact that even though right now in the state that it's in, it may be nifsel, but it could be corrected, and the things that make it not roy can be taken out, and then the chametz part is roy. That's a shaila. Yeah.
So things that go drugs, effect of drugs, things that go up your nose or in your eye or inhale.
On purpose. I get the idea. In other words,
come out right.
Yeah.
My asthma medications.
Yeah, asthma. All asthma medications. Okay. Inhaler is okay. The inhalers are okay.
Cream thing that goes up your nose.
The inhalers are okay.
But the sinus stuff that goes up your
your nose.
It's okay.
Traffic,
it's okay.
And eye drops are
okay.
Now that's clear, right? Everybody understands what I'm
saying. All eye drops are clear. Yeah. Solid creams and ointments are most of the time okay.
So, like from a tube, that's considered.
From a tube is a solid, yeah.
And a tub with a tube.
Right, yeah. Yes. There, even if there's alcohol in it or whatever, it's bottle of. And that, but it's not, then it's not really like this, because there's nothing you can do with it. There's no way to make that edible again.
And Vaseline?
Vaseline is okay anyway. It's not, there's nothing chametzik about Vaseline. It's a petroleum. Yeah.
Dish soaps,
you should get kosher l'Pesach.
Toothpaste,
you should get kosher l'Pesach. Me'ikar hadin, there are toothpastes that were checked that they don't have any chametz in them. Brands. I think Gleam every year, Crest is okay or whatever. But they have toothpaste with kosher l'Pesach, or they have ones that were checked out. Use only the ones that were checked out. Probably it's okay even if it's not. But since it goes into your mouth, right, both the toothpaste, mouthwash for sure has to have a kosher for Pesach. New toothbrush for Pesach. All these things... they're readily available with a hechsher of Pesach. Get it with a hechsher of Pesach. Yeah. Yeah, solid. Yeah. What? Shampoos. Shampoos, unless they have oats or wheat germ, they're okay. If they say that they have oats or What's the word for oats? Something propo. No, not apropopo. Not isopropo either. Alcohol, first of all, is if it's isopropyl alcohol, rubbing alcohol is okay. Only grain alcohol, which is called ethyl alcohol, that's not okay. Methyl alcohol is okay. Isopropyl alcohol is okay. The only one that could possibly not be okay is ethyl alcohol. Not all ethyl alcohol is not okay, but it comes from grains. It depends what kind of grain it is. Yeah.
Okay, so soap is solid, but I have some soap I think that's made out of oat, that's got oat in it.
Yeah, then shouldn't use that.
But I don't have to throw away, I can sell it.
Okay, that's what we'll get to in the next thing. Okay, any, yeah. Again, if you have a question on specific cosmetics or drugs, ask them, Shiloh. Yeah. What?
About cleaning a retainer
Okay. If you have false teeth, or you have braces that are removable, or retainers, or whatever, things that you can take out of your mouth. Some people hold you should kasher them by putting them or pouring boiling water over them. If, however, your retainer will melt, if you do it, probably it won't, but if it's a chance it will, it'll get destroyed, right? Or your teeth will not fit in again or whatever if you pour boiling water over them. I don't really know the... then it's enough to wash them well, preferably not to eat hot chametz for 24 hours before Erev Pesach, and with those things in your mouth. And that's enough. That's enough to do.
She's not allowed to eat with the thing in her mouth.
Oh, she doesn't eat with it in her mouth?
No. But she still puts it in sometimes, or I don't know.
Then what's it called? Just wash it off good. Wash it off good. If you have braces that you can't take out, okay, then you should blowtorch them. That was just a joke. Then there is an opinion that if you have fillings, braces that can't be taken out, that you should wash your mouth out well and not eat hot chametz for 24 hours before Pesach. It's a chumrah. But there is something to that. If not, we're somech on the fact that usually people don't put in their mouth things that are Yatzah Ledesbo. Surely not most of the time. Even if it happened, you know, that you put something, a hot potato in your mouth or whatever by accident, it's a rare thing. It's not a usual thing. And therefore your teeth are not usually used for things that are Yatzah Ledesbo. And therefore there's not really a problem. Real teeth, there's no problem because they're alive. So they're not boleya. But when you have false teeth, or you have, you know, crowns or fillings or braces, there may be something that it's boleya, you have what's it called. So it's a nice chumrah not to eat hot chametz 24 hours before Pesach. However, if for some reason you can't do that, okay, then just washing your mouth out, well, brushing your teeth, brushing the braces to make sure there's no chametz caught between them is good enough. Yeah.
When does the
24-hour start? Probably from midday chatzos, the Torah time that it's of the day before. You want to be machmer from the time that the Isser Chametz is, which is like of a 9 something, yeah? So 9 o'clock the day before.
I had this for quite a while, and I remember that they have rubber bands that could be changed. So I just remind people that those rubber bands could be changed. They're changed.
I mean, rubber bands that are part of the braces.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that the parts that can be changed, better to change them, and it's less of a problem. What about
lipstick?
You should get most lipstick is not chametz, but since you use it on your lips, where it could be that it had some kind of shaychus with food, first of all, you should get lipstick that's not chametz, that's been checked that it's not chametz. The problems are sometimes there's flavored lipsticks, those are problematic sometimes. So you should make sure the lipstick doesn't have chametz, they're lisse. And you should get a new one, preferably. Or just rub the top off the other one a little bit. That should be enough also. Usually the lipstick doesn't have, like, you know, bread crumbs over the top, I imagine. Yeah. So just to rub off the top is enough. You don't have to get a new one.
Is men's talc a problem?
Men what?
Men's talc.
Talc?
Yeah.
Talc's not a problem. What? I don't know, men's, women's, I don't know there was men's and women's talc, but it's not a problem. Okay.
What about any powders?
Powders? It depends. If you have powdered flour, it's a problem. But if you have
baby powder.
Right. Baby powders are not a problem. That's talc.
Or
it's cornstarch. As long as you don't eat it, it's okay. Okay, now, mechiras chametz. Some people are makbid not to sell real chametz, and they get rid of any real chametz that they have. If you have such a minig, then keep it. If you don't have such a minig, and that is not the minig amakom here, for sure, people can sell real chametz. I sell real chametz. It doesn't have to be that you have a lot of it. Even if you have only a little bit, you can also sell it if you want. If you're selling real chametz, then the chametz that you're selling should be segregated, meaning should be put in a room you're not going to use. If it's in a cabinet, the cabinet should be closed up. It doesn't have to be a halachic mechitza, but it has to be segregated. And that means that if you're keeping chametz things in your refrigerator, you can't do that unless you have a refrigerator that's you're not using for anything else. You can't just put it in a bag and have say this is chametz and write chametz on it. Completely closed off? And that's for real chametz? Or things that are not Pesach Dik but not real chametz? Yeast could be not chametz altogether.
Open jars, things that I don't want to get rid of.
Yeah, but of what? Things that may be chametz, real chametz, mayonnaise. Here is probably not a problem. Vinegar is not usually grain vinegar. It's usually cider vinegar here. If it's not real chametz, you can surely do that. Even your freezer. You have meats or whatever. They're not real chametz. It's just not Pesach Dik. Those for sure. Or the kidneys, so you don't have to, you're going to keep them around altogether. That's also okay. But if it's real chametz, if you really, mamish, close that area off completely, fine. Right? But to put it in a bag or something, then that's no good. You can close up a, what's it called, a section of a cabinet, which mamish completely closed. That's good enough too. What else? Okay, does that answer your question with the freezer and the refrigerator? Yeah. Yeah.
Flour
chametz? Flour is probably chametz, because the flour that we have is washed, is bleached.
Yeah, whole wheat flour.
What? Whole wheat flour? I don't know. If it's not bleached, it's not chametz gomor. It, you obviously can't use it for Pesach, but it's...
No, I know, but I keep it in the freezer.
You can segregate something like that, yeah, in the freezer.
You can take one drawer of the freezer.
Right, and close it off. Yeah, if you can do that, close it off completely, one shelf, that's better. Any other questions on this?
This grain, let's say wheat grain, is that considered chametz gomer?
It's a chashash that maybe it was, once it's cut, grain can become chametz if it gets, water gets on it. It doesn't have to be flour to become chametz. It's a chashash of chametz. That's why you have to check the grains to see if they became fermented or not. So if they're fermented grains, it's chametz. If it's not, then it's not chametz. Yeah?
If you don't sell chametz gomor, so then what is the point of the whole...
You're selling in case... Well, first of all, you're selling chametz that may be... Maybe attached to your pots and pans or whatever, that kind of stuff. Or something you may have missed and you're selling that. I don't know exactly what... Therefore, what's it called? If you're going to sell your chametz, basically, and even if people don't sell chametz gomer, but sell pots and pans, I don't think most people in Makbid, maybe they are, that you have to... clean every pot or whatever. If you're going to put things away that you're not going to use, and you're going to, and you sell chametz gomer for sure, you don't have to clean those things. You have a mixer, whatever, you don't have to clean it. Just put it with your chametz and sell it, just like you're selling the chametz. So if you don't sell chametz gomer, I still think that the chametz that's connected and bottled to the pots, that they do sell.
It doesn't
have to be something substantial.
So the mixer has some,
as long as for you it's substantial, that's substantial. If you feel that it'll be a loss to you, that you'll have to replace it, and you don't have money to replace it so easily, you can use the money for something better, that's called substantial.
So then anyway, you clean your mixer or your things, because that's what you're going
to
sell the...
No, you don't have to go to the bother. You're selling it, that's it. Here, what's substantial is your time. You don't have to go to the bother of cleaning. Not necessary. That you surely can sell. Yeah, I'm telling you, even people don't sell chametz gomer, I'm almost sure that they don't have to scour the things and make sure there's nothing on it. That much they are so much to sell. Things that anyway are bottled to the kalim or whatever. Scotch is chametz gomer, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If you don't sell chametz gomer, you can't sell whiskey.
So
yeah.
Using my in-law's house for Pesach.
Oh, okay, yeah, good. If you're going away for Pesach, hold on. If you're going away for Pesach, and you're not going to be home at all, okay, then you can just close up your house and sell it with your chametz if you sell chametz gomer, and don't have to clean your house, don't have to do anything.
Wait.
I said you're not going to use it at all.
Right.
If it's preferable when you do that to sell it on the 13th and not on the 14th, not an Erev Pesach, but Erev Pesach, we don't do that here. There's people who sell in Kiryat Sefer, you can go to them and sell your chametz to them. if you're going to be using the house. You're going to come back Chol HaMoed. Then you have to clean the house. If you're going to be using only part of the house, but you can close off part of the house and never have to go through those rooms. They're completely segregated. Then you can close off those rooms, and the rooms that are used, they have to be cleaned. So it has to be clean for Pesach.
They have to be clean for them. Do I have to like pick up the couch cushions and vacuum under there?
You have to clean it as if you would be cleaning for yourself, yeah. That's you're going away, you're not going to be here for Chol HaMoed. I usually said that you have to be going out of the country, because there's always a chance you'll come back. But the truth is that you know for sure you're not planning to come back home, and even if an emergency comes up, you know, you're still allowed to walk into the house, even if there's chametz there. So if you really not plan to be back, then you can just close up the house and sell it. Bedikas. If you're going to be and bedikas chametz, leave over one room to make bedikas chametz, or where you're going to be, bring some chametz into that room and make bedikas chametz in that room there of Pesach. That's just to be able to have the mitzvah of bedikas chametz, that's all. You don't have to do that. If you're going to be using the house, or somebody's going to be using the house, then the rooms that are going to be used, and the rooms that you have access to those rooms, you have to walk through, all have to be cleaned as if you'll be there. Yeah.
I have a house in the States that's empty right now, and I had it cleaned for Pesach by somebody.
Last year, or now?
Now.
Yeah.
And I don't have a tenant. It doesn't look like I'm going to have a tenant for Pesach. I was hoping to rent it. So I didn't think about bedikas chametz in my house.
You didn't bring any... Well, did anybody bring chametz into the house since last year?
For sure. There were tenants there.
Oh, there were tenants. Okay.
They just moved out this week.
Yeah, but you only have to make bedikas chametz in a place where you are going to live. But if it's your house and nobody's living there and you have no access to it... And nobody's living there.
But if somebody comes to rent it for Pesach, they'll have to be living
there. Yeah, before Pesach.
It's not the chametz.
It depends. Yeah, no, but still, if they take ownership of the house, then any of the chametz there is theirs too. That's socher bayis, and before Leil Arbos, or you have to, the person who socher it, if they socher it after that, then you have to, if the morning, then you have to do it.
Who has to do with your chametz?
Who has to do what?
Who has to sell his chametz?
Who has to sell, the person who owns it? Or his shliach?
A youngster from what age?
He can only be a shliach if he's over bar mitzvah. Yeah,
to make the rubbish, he has to sell it to you.
What?
Somebody,
yeah, but that's not... Basically, you're telling me that I should sell your chametz, and with your name on there, the goy knows that anybody whose name is on that thing, that's... So even though we're mocked that they should make a shliach or whatever, but really you could do it over the phone and you could just...
No, but if you have a teenage son that's in the way in yeshiva, he may have a bag of chametz, he left in his aron, and he's going to sell it.
Right.
Are you selling for him, or does he have to sell himself?
He has to sell himself. It's his chametz. You don't own it. He owns it. He can't.
Anybody above his bar mitzvah that owns his own chametz,
right,
has to come to sell.
L'chara, yeah.
But if he lives in your home, don't you... Isn't everything that he owns belong
to you? No. That only applies to a minor girl. But a boy lives in your home, everything he has doesn't belong to you.
Can the children make their parents sleep in when the parents take care of the selling and the...
Yeah, yeah.
Even all the garments or children?
Yeah. Yeah.
But whoever wants to sell his chametz has to make the rubbish to sell his chametz. I can't just come and bring a bunch of my neighbors and friends down because I feel like it.
If they tell you that they want to, yeah, you can. Yeah.
If let's say I know a person that he wouldn't be interested in selling his chametz, but I know if I talk to him, he would just say, tell him, just don't use your kitchen. Can I ask him to ask me to be a shliach, even though I know he's not really interested? But
is he going to use the chametz or not use the chametz?
So I could ask him not to use it at all, but I know he himself, not he's asking, please be my shliach, because he doesn't really care.
No, if you convince him and he tells you, okay, I'll do it.
So then
it's okay. The only thing is, Rav Moshe holds that if somebody sells their chametz and then they use it, that's not, they're ganavim. But the sale is still a sale. Other poskim, Rav Eliyashiv and others hold that if you know the guy really didn't want to sell his chametz and he's going to use it and he sells it, the sale's no sale. And not only that, could be it affects the other wholesale. What?
If he's serious, like he'll say, I wouldn't, but there is a chance he would use it. Is it better that he does it or better?
No, better than you convince him to try to do it, yeah. But if you know he's a joke, then it could be that it doesn't help anyway, yeah?
I have relatives, one whom the wife is more religious than the husband, and she sells the chametz every year and closes it off. Does that sale valid for...
It depends. What does he do?
He doesn't use it, but he doesn't nullify the sale.
No, if he doesn't use it and it's sold, it's sold. If he will use it, he's a ganav.
But it belongs to him, partly.
Yeah, but if he's happy with what his wife's doing, she can... He's not saying, I don't want my chametz sold, and his wife sold it anyway. That probably won't help.
Okay, because I wonder, because I sometimes will want to consume it after.
Yeah, that chametz you can consider sold.
Yeah.
Wife has her own chametz. Somebody gave it to her, and that her husband shouldn't have any shlita over it. That's the way it has to be, right? Usually people don't have that. Usually, when we say in the Tanoim, v'yishlatum b'nechseyin shava b'shava, we don't go into the house and the wife says, that's my cereal, that's his cereal. If that is the case, right, in somebody's house, then it'd be, yeah, then she has to sell her cereal and he has to sell his cereal.
No, but she may have a perfume or something that you don't have to do with.
Perfume we don't
use. Usually, it's not, you know, if the guy goes to use his wife's perfume, she's not going to say, hey, that's mine. And the emes is that mashakoni in shakona baila, so it all belongs to the husband, even the perfume. Usually what's in the house belongs to the house, and the husband has a right to sell it, and the wife is not upset about it, and if it's hers, he's selling it for her. You don't have to be mad at it. The kids, a different story. Okay. I think that covers everything. Okay.